future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host the next 15 minutes. So coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. We have an action-packed show in store for you today. We're going to be discussing Tron founder Justin Sun postpones lunch of Warren Buffett, why he did this, and what's currently happening with Tron. There's a lot going down in the news. Number two, German regulators approved $280 million Ethereum token sale. What does this mean for the German crypto community, and also what this means for the general crypto community as well? Will we start seeing the SDOs take place from Germany? And number three, we're going to be talking about AT&T fails to win dismissal in $24 million crypto SIM swap lawsuit. So listen, with that in mind, let's jump into the show and let's get down to business. All right, let's kick things off. So let's talk about Tron. That's been everywhere today. Everyone's been talking about Tron in some way, shape, or form. So Justin Sun's hotly anticipated lunch with billionaire investor Warren Buffett has been postponed, the Tron Foundation announced yesterday. Sun has fallen ill with kidney stones. Oof, the foundation said on Twitter. The parties have agreed to reschedule at a later date. The lunch scheduled for July 25th was the prize for winning a charity auction. Sun bid $4.6 million earlier this year, and seemingly it's intended to introduce the notoriously crypto-skeptical Buffett to a number of influential figures in the space. As of Monday, Sun lined up Circle's Jeremy Allaire, Huobi's Christie, and eToro's Yoni Assi, and Litecoin creator Charlie Lee to join him. The specific subjects to be discussed during the steak meal were not disclosed. However, Buffett has famously called Bitcoin rat poison squared and made a number of other unflattering remarks about cryptocurrencies. Sun himself, a controversial figure, is the creator of the Tron cryptocurrency and head of its namesake foundation. He convinced Buffett to move the charity lunch from its traditional New York location to Silicon Valley as well. So, I mean, that's a big move from him. A lot's going on at the minute with Tron, and I think there's a lot of interesting discussions being had. I think here in the West, Tron is seen, not as a joke, but I don't think it's taken as seriously as it is in mainland China. Today, it's down nearly 22%. Obviously, crypto is extremely volatile, so you know that changes. But what we're seeing in the minute is more and more news out from Tron, and I think what happens with excitement after that kind of fades away and the hype fades away, and Justin Sun's a brilliant marketer, you kind of are like, all right, so what's going on? And Tron has, to their credit, been producing some pretty cool dApps coming through, but I think the community is kind of wondering, what's next for Tron? What's the big move? What are they going to specialize in? Now, calling out people on Twitter and kind of trolling people is great, but what does that mean for Tron? Like, how is Tron going to have an edge? What is their edge? What are they doing different to everyone else? What makes them so special? And I think that now is the question being asked by lots of different communities out there. So let's talk Germany. German regulators approved $280 million Ethereum token sale. Fundament, a blockchain startup coming out of stealth mode, has received the green light to issue the first tokenized real estate-backed bond that can be widely offered to individual investors. Announced Tuesday, the Berlin-based firm has obtained approval from Germany's financial regulator, BaFin, for the €250 million, $280 million offering. By virtue of being regulated, the token will be open to any retail investor anywhere with no minimum investment restriction. In other words, someone in, let's say, Indonesia will be able to buy €100 worth of Ethereum tokens and thereby directly invest in German commercial property. A BaFin representative told media sources today, "We can confirm that we have granted approval for a Fundament Group prospectus. It has been the first time we've approved a prospectus regarding blockchain-based real estate asset bonds, but not the first time in respect to blockchain technology as such. Token, which Fundament will start marketing next month, will run on the public Ethereum blockchain using the ERC-20 standard popularized by the 2017 initial coin offering, ICO Explosion. Blockchain real estate is a busy space. Florian Glatz, co-founder of Fundament Group, said typically what has been seen in the past are private placements that have not required a prospectus or a financial market authority's approval. In March of this year, for instance, InVM Capital Partners tokenized some $260 million worth in four private real estate and debt transactions. starting with a WeWork occupied building in downtown Miami, Florida. Other examples include Tempelhof Markets, which sold a security token representing shares in a Colorado ski resort last year, accepting US dollars, Bitcoin, and Ethereum. Beyond real estate, firms like UK-based Nivaro has explored tokenized debt equity, done in a fully regulated context, allowing for trading on secondary markets. Glatz told media sources, "The reason we went through the long, tedious process with regulators was to get rid of any restrictions. Normally, these projects are limited either by the minimum investment amount, which would be north of 100,000 euro, or limited heavily in the amount of investors could have. So it's the first real, like, mass market tokenized real estate for the world." Compliance challenges. So Fundament's token will be backed by five separate construction projects, three in Hamburg, one in Frankfurt, and one in the university town of Jena. The portfolio including residential, commercial, and hotel properties with total more than 680,000 square feet upon completion. The company's projects, or the projects, a return on the project in the mid to high single digits. Holding a token enshrines a legal claim of the holder against the insurer of the bond to pay them an annual dividend around 4-8%. And obviously, once the runtime on this fund is over and there is an exit, then the token holders can get the complete value that was within this fund, Glatz said. To comply with KYC and anti-money laundering regulations, ID Now will verify prospective token buyers' identities. The vendor's process takes 3 minutes on average before a user can purchase tokens, Glatz said. Fundament will not use any investment bank, but will distribute the securities itself to a low insurance costs and increase returns for investors, said Robin Matz, another Fundament co-founder. Buyers can pay for their tokens with Bitcoin, Ether, US dollars, or euros. For those who pay with fiat, Fundament says it will deliver the tokens on a hardware device. Fitting the project within the structures of MiFID II, a European regulatory framework that was drafted with other things in mind, was a challenge. We handed in the prospectus in December 2018 and got approval last week. So it was 6 or 7 months of work, Matt said. Every 2 or 3 weeks, you got 20 pages back from the regulator of things you have to change, and so on. Back and forth over a period of months, and it ends up being like a book. Ours was close to 100 pages. It would even be impossible if the founding team was not compromised of many legal as well as technical experts. In other words, they didn't have to spend a lot of time on lawyers and spend a lot on lawyer fees because they were lawyers. We saved on that big time. So I think that's really interesting what's going on there. I'd be interested to see, let's say, if it's an ERC-20 token, obviously I understand like what's behind the token itself and why it has value. But let's say the market takes another dip. Will these be publicly traded? Like, how does that work? Or do you have your allocation of tokens that the firm will later buy back with fiat once they've completed on the property or once the dividends come through? Or like, that's the tokenomics on that's not too clear. But I think it's really interesting to see what's currently happening in the space, and especially with real estate. A few people have been attempting that. I don't personally believe that real estate will be, you know, the greatest achievement of blockchain technology. I think, you know, there's so many different areas where blockchain has the ability to disrupt. I'm kind of surprised that real estate has kind of taken the forefront in many ways, shapes, and forms. So I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens in that sector, and to see what it can offer apart from just raising money from people who don't have $100,000. So, you know, let's see. Okay, so changing the conversation slightly, we're going to be talking about AT&T because they've been in the news a lot recently, and we're going to be talking about the lawsuit and the lawsuit they failed to win. So crypto investor Michael Turpin has won an early victory in his attempt to sue telecom giant AT&T Mobility over a SIM swapping hack that saw him lose a claim $24 million worth of crypto. In court documents published Friday, Los Angeles federal judge Otis Wright II rule that AT&T must answer a lawsuit brought by Turpin for enabling the theft of millions of dollars of cryptocurrency by giving access to a SIM card to hackers. While the telco has requested that the court dismisses the lawsuit in its entirety, the judge decided that the AT&T should answer to Turpin's claims of violating the Federal Communications Act's breach of contract and other legal violations. Turpin is seeking $23.8 million in compensation. damages and a further 200 million in punitive damages. The case was brought first in August 2018 when Turpin claimed that AT&T employees have been complicit in SIM swap fraud. In this type of scam, criminals pose as the owners of a victim's mobile phone number, convincing telecom providers to grant them access to the SIM card. Adding insult to injury, this was said by the second time Turpin had suffered a SIM swap hack via AT&T, and he claims that specifically told the firm that his account was high risk and was set up extra levels of security after the first incident. In the court documents filed July 19th, Judge Wright ruled that Turpin had sufficiently alleged that the criminal acts of a third party were reasonably foreseeable by AT&T. Turpin further claimed that relief on the grounds that some of the provisions of the agreement contract with AT&T were illegal. The judge wrote in the document, he seeks to declare AT&T's wireless customer agreement as unconsiderable, void against public policy, and unforeseeable in its entirety. Specifically, he objects to the exploratory provisions that exempts AT&T from liability from its negligence acts or omissions of a third party, or damages or injury caused by the use of the device. The damages restriction clause that exempts AT&T from certain forms of damages. The indemnity provisions requiring customers to indemnify AT&T for claims arising out of service provided by AT&T, and the arbitration provision requiring Mr. Turpin to arbitrate his claims. While the company sought dismissal on the ground that the claim was not ripe for litigation, Judge Wright said Turpin had sufficiently alleged that the claim ruled out motion to dismiss. However, Turpin's claim that AT&T caused him to lose $24 million in crypto came into some doubt, the judge said. Based on the allegations of the complaint, Mr. Turpin asserts that AT&T assisted the hackers. I mean, that's a little bit strong. Assisted the hackers with a SIM card swap, thus granting the hackers access to Mr. Turpin's mobile phone. This alleged result in Mr. Turpin losing $24 million in cryptocurrency. However, Mr. Turpin does not explain how the hackers accessed Mr. Turpin's cryptocurrency account or accounts, whether they sold Mr. Turpin's cryptocurrency, then transferred the money, or whether they transferred the cryptocurrency to a cold wallet. At this stage, the court is left to speculate how having access to Mr. Turpin's phone number resulted in the theft of cryptocurrency. The claim was dismissed, was right to amend within 21 days. Judge Wright strongly repudiated AT&T's audacious bids to prevent Michael from demonstrating to a jury the courier's contempt for consumers' privacy and utter discard in legal obligations to prevent his very type of SIM swap and financial crime. I mean, I think that I think he's nailed it with regards to AT&T not having a fair system and giving his details away. But you know, I don't know how he's going to get $24 million in crypto back. And I think that's kind of the key here. I don't think he's doing this out of the goodness of his heart to help all the other AT&T users out there. Let me know your thoughts. So, with that in mind, that's a wrap. I've got to bounce. Thank you so much for your time, your energy. Thank you for everything that you do for this podcast. We couldn't do it without you. If you haven't already, subscribe to the SVK Crypto Podcast. Feel free to join our Telegram, SVK Crowd. If you type that in, you'll find us into your Telegram. Twitter at SVK_crypto. And if you have any questions or queries, feel free to email myself. CStory, CSTORY, @SVKcrypto.com. That's a wrap. And I've got to bounce.